He's fine. Lived to 17 years old. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, enough dog stories. That's my little... 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read the first 13 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7 will be my text verse, where I'm going to keep reading, but verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There's my three-point outline, right? Power, love, sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessing on the preaching of the word. Lord, we have an opportunity here today to gather once again. Lord, Christmas fell right in the midst of a weekend, and so as we were able to gather Friday night for the Christmas Eve service, again Sunday morning, kind of sandwich Christmas Day with some time at church. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of our people here at Cedar Hill as they come out and support these services and understand the importance of what Christmas is truly all about. Lord, as we come now to the preaching of the word, Lord, I pray you anoint my lips this morning to share that which you would have for us today. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, asking this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today, kind of a transition day, right? I look back through my notes, and it's that Sunday after Christmas, before the new year. And so I'm not going to preach a Christmas message. We did a lot of that in December. And I'll be honest with you, most of you that know me know I like to pick a theme for the new year. I usually put up banners, and we will. For the new year, and I'm always itching to get to it. You know what I mean? I want to start preaching it, and I'm not going to do that, but I think I have a message today that'll transition into the new year and with our new theme in mind. We will talk about that a little bit this morning as well. In 2020, our theme, and I kind of emphasized it probably more the first half of the year than the second half, was for such a time as this. Taken from the book of Esther, in the middle of the discussion between Esther and Mordecai. And she's looking at the fact that God had put her in a special place at a special time. And it was incumbent upon her to go in before the king, foreign king, who did not know that she was of Jewish heritage, and to explain to him what was happening and what Haman had in mind for the Jewish people. This was a kind of a precursor, if you would, of some of the atrocities that would fall the Jewish people in later years and up to more current times, speaking, of course, of Adolf Hitler. But Haman had that same mindset toward the Jewish people. He wanted them annihilated. And he had connived and worked to make sure that they could come to a time and a place and a date when it was lawful to exterminate the Jewish people. And here's Queen Esther, an Israelite, a Jewish person herself, who now sees that the time has come for her to go in and explain to the king all that's at hand. And so in the midst of that discourse between her and Mordecai, those words that we used were spoken, perhaps Esther, you're here for such a time as this. Maybe God allowed all the unusual circumstances to get you to this moment in time because it's incumbent upon you to take hold of the opportunity and do something, which she did at the potential risk of her life. She put protocol aside, walked in. We know the story of how she invited him to dinner and over the second dinner was able to lay out the groundwork of what had happened and turn the tables on Haman and save the Jewish people, something that the Israelites still celebrate to this day. So she took the opportunity she had. So I was thinking in 2021, as we look back on this past year of 2021, unusual times, I think we all agree. I think most of us are concerned about our country, our society, the morals of our society, our educational system, where we're at, the division in our country. There's so many things that have been highlighted over the last couple of years that we're concerned about. And yet God has us here at this time, not by accident, right? It didn't surprise God that you and I were living at this time, nor did it surprise him that we've come to perilous times. In fact, that was prophesied about. And so we are here for such a time as this, and it's incumbent upon us to understand that, not to throw up our hands in despair and worry, but to take the opportunities. One of the things I tried to do, and I've talked about this with a number of people, even one of my neighbors, is I believe that God has you, mom and dad, parents, raising your children in such a time as this. In other words, you're going to be the challenges these kids are going to face are probably greater than I've seen in my lifetime and probably we've seen in our country in quite a while. And so the opportunity that you have, mom and dad, to raise your children, to instill in them the values that they so desperately need, in spite of everything in our society tearing apart some of those same values. I want to preach in 2022 here, moving forward. I had to think, is that the right year, right? 2022. They go by quick. In 2022, why don't you turn there? It's way down here in my notes, but I'm already going to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 6. You might want to keep your finger in 2 Timothy. We're going to go back there. But Ephesians chapter 6 is going to be our theme verse for the new year. Ephesians chapter 6 is a very familiar passage here as we talk about the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. And I'll point out our theme in just a minute, but Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me stop right there. I think it's incumbent upon us that we keep that in mind. We're not fighting a human enemy, we're fighting a spiritual battle for the souls of our society, for the souls of our kids, for the morals of our society. It's a spiritual battle at stake here. We're not wrestling against just, you know, an opposing political party or position or school board or all the things that are highlighted today. Those things are real things and concerns that we have, but we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If you and I think that the time is at hand, and we do, I do, most of you do, don't you think Satan thinks the time is at hand? I think he's well aware that the time is at hand. And so he's not sitting idly by. Satan is not coasting to the finish line. He has a battle to fight. He wants to take as many with him down the road of destruction as possible. So because of that, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And my theme this year is, and having done all, to stand. To stand in spite of the circumstances, not to falter, not to flee, not to worry and despair over everything that's going on, but to have a strong stand in the evil day. Now, there's a whole theme on that. Verse number 11 told us, put on the armor that you may be able to stand. Verse 13, you need to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And now verse 14 is going to start with that same word. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's a consistent theme throughout this whole passage, talking about the armor of God, that we are to put on the armor to be able to stand, withstand, stand firm. So that's our theme moving forward in the new year. We're going to see some of that going back to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And our verse this morning is verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's not the spirit God gave us, all right? So let's start with that, and then we'll look at the three positives here: power, love, and sound mind. But first of all, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. In other words, that's good to know, right? If I'm fearful, it's not from God. If I'm fearful, it's because I'm relying on the flesh, right? I'm thinking as I want to, in my human mode, with my abilities, and not relying on God. The spirit of fear doesn't come from him. We're going to look at some of these other ones, right? Spirit of power, sound mind, of love, and loving one another. That's something God will give us. But a spirit of fear, no, we kind of conjure that up ourselves. And we have that, I think, more than ever. There seems to be more of that in our society. And if there's more of that in our society, then there's got to be more of that in the church as well today, right? Concern, worry, fear, despair. Where we're at, where we're going, what am I going to do, how is this going to work out, you know? God hasn't given us that spirit. So let's counter that and see what he has. Isaiah 41:10, again, just stay right there in 2 Timothy, but I want to read a verse in Isaiah 41:10 because this is not a new theme. As Paul is writing here to Timothy, Timothy is an understudy. He's a preacher boy. He's someone that Paul is preparing for the ministry. Timothy is going to be sent out. He's going to preach at some churches. And as Paul is preparing him, he's telling him, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But that's not a new theme in the Word of God, not a new theme from God. And I thought I'd look at Isaiah 41:10 because it's a familiar verse to us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Strength comes from the Lord, not fear. So fear not. Now let's look at these three as we have an opportunity here today. So he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. First of all, power. What does that mean? Right? What's the power that he gives us? And I wanted to read the whole thing, which we did, in context, because I think verse 7 tells us maybe we have the power for the gift that's mentioned in verse 6. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Timothy, specifically, in his particular case, he had been commissioned to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he had been sent to preach the gospel, Paul is saying God has put a very special gift in you, young man, to preach. So don't be overcome with fear, because there's going to be, there's a reality of why you would fear. We're in the Roman Empire, Timothy. You're going to be persecuted, Timothy. There's going to be people not like it and come up against you and criticize. And we know some of the things that might have been a concern because Paul will tell Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. So he was a young man. And Paul knew some people would criticize. Well, you're just a kid. What do you know? God said, listen, God has given you a gift to preach, a gift to proclaim the word of God. That gift has been stirred up in you. Paul says, I see it. Others see it. It's evident that God's given you that gift. So don't be overcome with fear, but with power. Power to use the gift that God has given you. And so I think then the question is, I've preached this. This isn't the context of my message this morning, but God's given each of us, I believe, a spiritual gift. There's something that God expects us to be able to do. He didn't leave us on this earth without the opportunity to do something in the service of the King. He's given us a gift. What is it? Stir up that gift. Don't neglect it because of fear, but through the Spirit of power, tap into, use the spiritual gift that is in us, that is in you, and that is in me. I believe he's given us the power to face difficult situations. We can talk about that in the midst of the era that we live in. You know, I think parents today are struggling with maybe things at their kids' school. What are they going to do about that? How are they going to handle that? You're dealing with decisions that maybe your adult child or your grandchildren or your spouse has made. And you're dealing with the strain of that, the difficulty of all that's going into that. You know, maybe it's the effects of COVID, the vaccine, the mandate, it's your job, all those things. Some of you are affected by those things. And you have that strain of that upon you and that toll of that upon you. And so God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Fear not, he says. Be not dismayed. Why? I'm with thee. He will never leave us, nor forsake us. Then I wrote down, this has everything to do with my theme for the new year, for 2022. He's given us the power to take a stand. More than ever in the midst of darkness, the light should shine brighter, right? The light shines brighter in darkness. You don't notice it. I was thinking about this. I was working on this even last night, and I have this clock radio. Do people still have clock radios, or am I old-fashioned now? I don't know, but I have a clock radio there in the bedroom. And it's one of those that we got years ago that has a little camera and shines the time up on the ceiling. Very convenient at night. You just look at the ceiling. How lazy can we be as Americans, right? I don't want to turn my head and look at the clock. I'll just look at the ceiling. Anyway, it does shine on the ceiling. It has a blue light and super bright so that it can reflect appropriately, right? But listen. During the average daylight, you don't really notice the clock. But at night, that blue light from that clock is so bright, my wife and I usually cover it up. The face of it, you know, that can shine on the ceiling. But the face of it's so bright, it's like a blue glow in the room, you know. So as the lights go out, as the sun goes down, the lights go out, as it becomes darker and darker at night, all of a sudden this clock where it has a little blue light is suddenly shining so bright, it keeps you awake, keeps me awake. It's annoying, right? Because it's so bright in the midst of the darkness. Listen, we are to let our light so shine before men. We are not the light. We reflect the light. In fact, we're like the little camera on top of the clock radio, right? The light shining bright, we're to reflect that light. And in the midst of darkness, and I don't think I have to convince you that our world and society is getting darker. And as it's getting darker and darker, light should shine brighter and brighter. I think it was easier, unfortunately, years ago as a Christian to just blend in with society. And you could just go about your business and nobody knows. It should become more difficult for a Christian to blend in. In other words, we should be sticking out. We should be bright in the midst of darkness. We have hope. We have an answer in Jesus Christ. We live by a value that God has established. In spite of what our world may be going, there should be some contrast. It seems to be, and I'm not the first preacher to ever make this illustration, but as society goes, the church is always a step behind. And we keep waning further and further from where we were. And we're not like where the world is, but we're not where we used to be either. And as light, I think there should be a starker contrast than ever before. So our theme for the new year, having done all, stand. Stand. In the evil day, stand. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? To withstand. Because there's fiery darts, because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. There's something bigger than I think you and I even understand. And some of us say that. We're concerned about our society and government. We're like, there's something else going on. There may be something else going on at this level. There's definitely something else going on at a higher level. And that's called Satan is ratcheting up his attack. He knows. Listen, his days are numbered. We know the end of the book. It doesn't end well for old Lucifer. It does not end well for the devil. He knows that. If you and I know that, he knows that. And the time is ticking, ticking, ticking away on him. So he's busy. He's not idly sitting by. Satan's not. Isn't it interesting? Just think of the way society portrays. They portray God as a kindly old man with a gray beard sitting in a rocking chair, right? They don't show Satan like that. You know? They don't show him like that. He's not an old man sitting in a rocking chair. Certainly God's not. But neither Satan. He's busy. He's working. I think he's full steam ahead. I think he's putting in overtime, you know? Stand in the evil day. Let's look at the other two real quick. He's given us the spirit of love. Verse number 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. If it's God-given love, God's love is agape love. It's unconditional love. It's love that only God can give. And only God can truly emulate. Only God can truly understand. We are to mirror that. We can't love the way God loves. God has unconditional love. Bible tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our love is usually conditional. I love you if you love me. If you stop loving me, I stop loving you. That's typical of human love, right? Our love expects something in return. I've committed to you. I expect commitment from you to me. I expect that. God loved us while we were yet sinners. God died for sinners regardless of whether or not they ever accept his free gift. God paid for that. It's agape love. It's unconditional love. It's love that only God can supply. He's given us the spirit of love. Love that should love one another. John 13. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. John 13, 34 and 35. Christ is teaching his followers this. I've used this verse many times. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you. Disciples must have been sitting there just waiting. What is this new commandment? That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He's like, this is what I want you to do, disciples. These are Christ's last words. By the time we come to this passage, we are in the night that Jesus Christ will be arrested and crucified. These are the last hours that Christ has with his disciples. And he says to them, all right, this is important. Here's my last commandment. Here's a new one for you. Write this down. Love each other the way I love you. And it's about to be on the most broad display. because he's about to be crucified for them. He's about to die for them. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Why? Verse 35 tells us, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. They're not going to know that you're my disciple because you walk around with a Bible in your hand. They're not going to know that you're my disciple because you go to church 10:40 on Sunday mornings. They're not going to know that you're my disciple because of the tracts you give out. They're going to know you're my disciple by the way you love one another. And so I think we would agree that perhaps we're not having the impact we should be having on the world because we haven't quite fulfilled that yet. There's a problem on that step. We don't really love each other the way we should, because the world, when the world looks at this church, Cedar Hill, or any church, do they really see a difference? They should. The Bible says if they see the way you all love each other, it'll change them. They'll know you're my disciples. It should at least spark some questions of what's going on. What's different about you guys? Why aren't you guys fighting and arguing and in dismay and throwing up your hands like everybody else? There's a love that God gave us that the world cannot understand. The last one there, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Isn't that interesting? That's the advice, you know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as Paul is writing to his preacher boy, his understudy, commissioning him to the gospel. Timothy's about to be sent out. These are the notes that Paul is sending along. Stir up the gift that's in you. Don't be fearful. God's given us a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. That seems so important today. It always has been, but in a day where, I don't know, I think I've said more in the last year than ever before, what are people thinking? You know, what's going on? A sound mind. I wrote down a few things when it comes to sound mind. I wrote down self-control, victory over emotions, feelings, and thoughts. We are a feeling-based society in 2022. I talked about that on a Sunday night a few weeks ago. Some of those, I mentioned some of the commercials. I think you can see what society is thinking by watching commercials. You can see what's going on. If you look back at the past, you know, people, you know, will tell you, hey, look what was a commercial in 1970, in 1954, 19 whatever. We talked about that on Sunday night a few weeks ago. Watch some of the commercials and see what's going on. That came up. We discussed that at Christmas dinner at my in-laws yesterday. I talked about that one with the two snowmen, or the little snowman the girl saves and puts in the freezer. You know, it keeps it all year long and then puts it out and immediately gets run over by a bike. You know? And everybody's like, yeah, what are they advertising? An iPhone. Makes you want to go buy one, right? I don't know. How many times do we look at commercials today and go, what exactly were they advertising? You know, that's an iPhone commercial. It'll tell you, this entire commercial was shot on an iPhone 11. And then at the end, there's either an AT&T or T-Mobile symbol or whoever sponsored that commercial. Why am I saying that? Because everything today is feeling-based. Feeling-based. All your Toyota commercials. I'm picking on Toyota in particular. You know, they're all feeling-based. You don't know, they don't tell you to buy a Toyota because the price is right, or it's dependable, or it has great resale, or the power of the engine. They don't mention any of that stuff. They tell you to buy it because look at the person who bought it and how great it makes them feel. So we have a feeling-based society. That's dangerous, right? I think that's dangerous because what if you're feeling bad? If you're feeling bad today, then things are bad. I'm being serious about this. We need to work our way through that a little bit. It used to be that we could look at facts and where we're at And when I'm feeling bad, I can look at the facts of the fact that, boy, God has blessed me and given me and done for me and da, 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 da. But if everything's feeling based, then if things are bad and I feel bad, then I am bad. You know, what am I going to do? Paul told Timothy, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's given you the spirit of a sound mind. Not to be all over the place depending on how you feel today. Not to be all over the place depending on circumstances and things that are happening. We should be of a sound mind. I think there's a lot more verses in Scripture that tell us things like unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the type of mindset we need to have in spite of society, in spite of what we see, in spite of the evening news, in spite of the word we get. To have a sound mind. Romans chapter 8, don't turn there, but verses 5 through 7 tell us not to be carnally minded. Not to be carnally minded. Grounded on the word of God and the values of the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 tells us to gird up your mind. Protect your mind. There are more things today than ever to try to get into your mind, to try to affect your mind. You know, I don't keep it on me. I was going to grab my cell phone. Every Sunday morning, I keep my cell phone in my office. I don't bring it into the pulpit. I've never had my cell phone ring during the service, and I'm not going to let that happen, you know. But our cell phone, we become addicted to that thing, don't we? It sits beside your bed. It's, you know, beside your plate when you're eating. Our cell phone goes with us. And so we're always constantly up to date on what's going on and what's happening. There's some advantages to that. I think there's some disadvantages to that, right? And so we are constantly being reminded of things and bad news and what's happening and people's problems and all this stuff that's going on. Bible tells us to protect our mind, gird up your mind. Put a fortress around it. Protect it. Get into the word. There's times that cell phone needs to go away, you know. Get back to it later. Otherwise, we just have the influence of the world hitting our mind all the time. All the time. Paul tells Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so as we look towards the new year, and I want our theme, I want to emphasize that. I know I'll do that through a number of different messages. Stand. Sound mind. Not fearful. And we'll leave you with just this Bible illustration. I'm not going to turn there. I probably will preach out of this in a few weeks here, but Jesus tells the disciples, we're going to the other side of the lake. On the boat, get on the boat, we're going to go to the other side. Jesus goes down into the hold of the ship and he falls asleep. Storm comes up. Boat's rocked. Disciples are fearful. They're scared, right? The Bible tells us they feared for their lives. They went down, they couldn't understand why Jesus was sound asleep in the midst of the storm. You and I know right now, I think they did later too, but we understand now that he controlled the storm. He wasn't worried about the storm. They wake up Jesus, and Jesus comes up and he says, "Why are you afraid?" And then he calms the storm. And he says to him, "Where is your faith?" And I think there's a point where you and I sometimes, I think in the past, I looked at that and go, well, they're in the storm. They turned to Jesus. That seemed like the right thing to do, right? But I think they forgot the first thing Jesus said, right? We're going to go to the other side. And if Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to go to the other side, you know? We don't have to doubt that. Listen. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world." We read Isaiah 41, fear not. God said, why? Why? I will be with you. We think we need to keep that in mind. I wonder how often we get fearful and anxious and upset, and God says, wait, where's your faith? I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. You don't have to come looking for me. Lo, I will be with you always. Stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessing on the time that we've had here today. Lord, we just tried to transition into a new year, new theme, new perspectives. Lord, I pray that in the midst of the turmoil of life and the things that are going on, Lord, some of them are national things that we see in our government and our society and maybe our educational system. And Lord, there are things that we would all share with. Lord, there's turmoil in individuals' lives, some of which we don't know, we don't understand, we're not aware of. Lord, there's people here that are concerned about things that nobody else knows about. Lord, may we, in the midst of that, understand that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, I pray that we are grounded in the Word and grounded in our faith with Jesus Christ. Even though the winds of peril may blow, and they do, and even though there's problems around us, and there may well be, Lord, you give us hope in the midst of that, Lord. We talked this morning, we know the end of the book for Satan. We know the end of the book for the believer. And Lord, you've prepared a place for us. You've given us a hope the world cannot understand. It's available to them, but if they haven't trusted in you, then they don't understand. Lord, I pray that we can find that confidence and hope that we can only have in you. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had today. Lord, I pray that we find that determination and that courage and that will to stand in the evil day. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. Our last song this morning, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain.